The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bruce Arians, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, joins us right now. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. First and foremost, maybe just give the listeners a little bit of an advanced preview of The Quarterback Whisperer, the book you got coming out.
Well, yeah, it's 40 years worth of stories and tales with some of the greatest guys I've ever been around and the quarterbacks I've been fortunate enough to coach, and some of my history and other things that family and other things. So it's been in the works for a while. About 7 years ago, I met Mike Fetchko, and then 2 years ago, I met Lars Anderson. We hit it off, and a few cocktails, and we had a book.
Speaking of cocktails, Coach, I love this. I'm from Wisconsin, so I know the value of a tailgate party. But I loved reading the fact that after games in the players and coaches lot, you would pop the trunk, pull out a few coolers, and you guys would just sit around and kind of BS for a while and let off some steam. Tell us how that got started.
Yeah, it was actually back in Pittsburgh. Russ Grimm would do all the he'd do all the cooking, and I had the tailgate for as far as the drinks for all the players and their families and the coaches and their families. And you know, there was a lot of nights it was Casey Hampton and James Ferrier, Russ and I'd be the last cars in the parking lot. And it was fun. It was win-lose. We had a great time, and it built team chemistry, and it's just a heck of a lot of fun.
Coach, you're known as a quarterback whisperer, but you're also a pretty darn good quarterback back at Virginia Tech. You ever go back and look at the stats, and do you know what your quarterback rating was over your 3 years there?
No, I have not. Back then, I don't think we had quarterback ratings, but I did score a few touchdowns.
Well, they you know, of course, it's the internet. Sports Reference has it. You were would it surprise you if I told you were a 108.3 for your career?
Oh, wow, that would shock me.
Well, you were. Your best year was the year you only, that first year, you had a 141, but you had 95 and a 109. Not bad, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach, you... You got connected with Peyton Manning after, and I was wondering, when you saw him, when you knew you were going to be coaching him, did you know right off the top, obviously the pedigree's there, but did you know right off the bat, hey, this guy's going to be special? And tell us maybe some of your fondest memories about working with a guy like Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. You know, I kind of knew Peyton coming out of high school. I was at Mississippi State, made one phone call to Archie, and I knew that was worthless, but I had to do it anyway, see if he'd come to state. But, yeah, it was fun. And I always tell him, I called him Piranha because if I had an hour's worth of work, I had to have 2 hours worth of meeting time because he was going to eat it up and write down everything and save every note. And one of the most fun guys I've ever had the pleasure of coaching, but probably one of the hardest, too, because you had to work so hard.
Well, everybody says he's a coach on the field, but is that a benefit? Obviously, you're working with him, you're calling the plays, you're the coordinator, but is that an extra feather in the cap to know, hey, if things look terribly wrong and the play clock's running down, this is a guy that could redirect everything on his own from right there on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I was not the coordinator. Tom Moore was the coordinator, but Peyton, I had him his first 3 years. And we just got started with that no-huddle stuff the second year, and then he got started good third year. And then Tom took it off, and obviously he became the quarterback on the field. I got him in the rough years, the 3-13 year. But then we flipped it around to 13-3. And so, yeah, it was fun watching him become that player.
Bruce Arians joins us on the HRMP listener line. Coach, when you work with a guy like Peyton Manning with that kind of work ethic, and then you move on and you get other quarterbacks that you're working with, do you try to instill that kind of work ethic into them, or do you let them figure it out on their own?
No, each guy's different. You know, if you tried to put as much information in some of the guys that Peyton had, that would be paralysis through analysis. Other guys just need to play. They need to know what the defense does and just let them play. So each guy's different. They learn different. And you got to make sure that you put them in a position that they can play fast and free.
You obviously specialize on the quarterback, Coach, and obviously fans here in Houston are curious about people's analysis of Deshaun Watson and what you might think of this young quarterback coming in the league this year.
Oh, I love Deshaun. I mean, he's a proven winner, and that's what you're looking for in a quarterback. He's obviously a great leader, but, you know, I was lucky to be in the stands when they played Alabama twice out in Phoenix, and he put on a show both times and just a tremendous leader and winner.
Coach, I follow you on Twitter, and I kept seeing pictures of you with your arm in a sling. And I was like, what happened? And it turns out it happened from a Larry Fitzgerald hug.
Yeah, that was more than a hug. We we kicked a game-winning field goal in Seattle, and it went for a high five that wrapped around my back and tore my rotator cuff.
And I saw you said that a get-well card wasn't going to do it. You needed a get-well convertible. Did you ever get that?
No, we're still working on that.
Coach, tell us the history of the Payne Stewart hat. I love it. I love the fact that regardless of what the NFL tells you to wear or not wear, that you find a way to make sure that good-looking lid makes its way to the sidelines as well as press conferences. Where did that come from?
You know, I've always worn hats even back in the neighborhood as a kid, and that I love that style. And New Era was great enough to make it for me. And so it is an officially licensed NFL property hat, but I can't wear it on the sidelines all the time. We made a pink one last year for the breast cancer game and did that one. Hopefully we'll have one for Salute to Service this year. They're making hopefully a camo one. And the story behind the hat is every hat that we sell, all the proceeds go to our foundation to help abused and neglected children throughout the country through CASA programs, Court Appointed Special Advocates. That's what our foundation is for. And that's why I wear the hats all the time, because we do sell those hats at stadium and online.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Coach, I saw this article about some of the different stories. Now, you used to bartend, and you were talking about a story in there where you got held at gunpoint or something like that. What was that? What was that about? What are you doing there?
Yeah, I was my first year in coaching. I got hired full time, bought a house, had a baby, and got fired. And I was still bartending at the time in Blacksburg, and deciding whether or not I want to stay in the restaurant business, bartending business, or coaching. And that quickly made the decision for me.
Well, Coach, you had a great year 2 years ago, a little bit of a down year last year, but you've got all the usual suspects, as we love to use the term around here. Back this year, you still got Carson at quarterback. You got one hell of a running back at Johnson. You still got Larry for another year at wideout. What are your expectations and the outlook on the Cardinals this year?
Well, you know, we always have the same goal every year. That's to go to the Super Bowl and win it. I like our football team. We had a great spring. I think our defensive additions, especially through the draft and free agency, are tremendous. Carlos Dansby and Antoine Bethea and the kids we drafted. So I think we should be able to stay in the top five defensively and get back to offense. John Brown's a key for us. If he can stay healthy and keep his speed up, that'll be huge for us this year.
Well, Coach, most of the experts gave you guys an A+, A-, somewhere in that range for your draft. Do you pay much attention to that, or do you just know that you got those guys and you wait to see what happens once training camp starts?
Yeah, I mean, that should give those grades like 3 years from now when the guys have made it, something happen, you know. But, yeah, Steve Keim does a great job, and we were so excited to get the kids that we got. And, you know, I think they're all going to make our team and really contribute.
Coach, looking at this book again, if you didn't catch the opening part of the interview, Bruce Arians has a new book out called The Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite NFL Quarterback. The Texans have gone through many of them, and I'm just wondering, when you look at quarterbacks coming out today, as opposed to a lot of the quote-unquote franchise quarterbacks that you've seen come out through the years, is there a difference? Because it seems like there's been quite a fallout. There's not that those big signature names that everybody associates instantaneously, no doubt can't miss, going to be a franchise quarterback for the next 10, 15 years. It seems like it's not that slam dunk of a, if you will, of a process anymore, where if you get a top five pick and you're going to take a quarterback, that guy's going to be your leader for the next 10, 12 years.
You know, yeah, I think some of that was the rookie salary cap a little bit, but again, the game has evolved, and these guys have so much more to learn. They're still great players. They're going to be great players, but they have so much more to learn, and defensive has gotten so sophisticated, and offensively, the college game is fantastic. It's a little bit different, and getting them up to speed, you know, they might have three or four protections they have to know in college. And in the NFL, you got 13 to 15 protections, and it's just a volume of learning.
I saw, Coach, where you said that you script your first 30 plays. 15 of those come from your quarterback, and you kind of let them tell you what they like as far as pass plays. Was that a difficult thing for you to do, kind of trusting in your quarterback to let them pick half the plays, basically, that you're going to run coming out?
No, I never want to call a play they're not comfortable with, so. When they pick them, there's an accountability factor, plus I know that's what they like. And I feel very, very comfortable calling the ones they like. And it's more than 30. They go through the third down script, the red zone script. There's probably, of the 40 passes thrown in the game, they've picked 35 of them.
Wow.
That's awesome. Coach, before we let you go, just real quick on the book, your favorite excerpt, something that maybe, you know, you thought about and hadn't said told the story in a while, or when you look back at the finished product, what are you most proud of with this book?
I probably the acknowledgement. Everybody I ever looked up to in my life was named Coach, and more than any was my dad, and Jimmy Sharp, Charlie Robertson, and John Devlin are the three guys that really, really helped save me and again give me a chance.
That's awesome. Well, Coach, good luck with the book. Have a great season. Since the Texans are in the AFC, we don't have to worry about you all that much. But we love watching you on the sidelines. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll make sure everybody knows about the book. We appreciate you spending some time with us.
You bet. Thank you.
Bruce Arians, right.